From KPFK Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Hollywood is reeling from a series of revelations about the longtime filmmaker Harvey Weinstein as a sexual predator. Apparently, rumors swirled for years about Weinstein's criminal behavior, but it wasn't until an explosive New York Times article on October 5th that the accusations came to light. But the paper itself is now under fire for apparently squashing a 2004 expose of Weinstein's sexual assaults. Following the Times story, Ronan Farrow published an even more explosive account in The New Yorker, profiling women who say Weinstein raped them. Weinstein has since issued an apology that began with excusing his behavior because he, quote, came of age in the 60s and 70s, when all the rules about behavior and workplace were different. He's also been fired from the company he started. Weinstein's victims include high-profile actresses like Gwyneth Paltrow, Angelina Jolie, Rosanna Arquette, and Ashley Judd, as well as lesser-known stars and women in the industry. Meryl Streep, Glenn Close, Kate Winslet, and others who've worked closely with him have issued statements distancing themselves from him and claiming they had no knowledge of his crimes. My guest is Jane Piper. She is an activist who works on issues of rape and sexual assault. She's a rape survivor who runs a Facebook page with Karen Palmer called This Is Rape, Stories from Survivors Inspired by Jane Piper. Welcome to the program, Jane.
Thanks so much, Sonali.
So it was just over a year ago that we had last had you on our program to talk about the rapist in the White House now. And here we are to talk about somebody who's on the opposite end of the political spectrum, but seemingly in the same club as Donald Trump, the club of repeat sexual offenders and rapists. Are you at all surprised by these revelations, even if you may not have known much about Harvey Weinstein's work?
I lived in LA for many years and was an actor and a comic, so I certainly knew the name. I'm not surprised. Nothing connected to who he is or was personally. I just have to say that this behavior and this criminal activity, which essentially is what it is, it doesn't surprise me because this is so much the norm. This is the way that, you know, Harvey Weinstein basically said it himself in his own attempt to apologize, that it has, you know, been since, you know, the 60s and 70s is what he spoke of specifically, but it basically has gone on for a long time. Not that women were okay with being assaulted and raped and forced to have sex when they don't want to or touched when they don't want to be, but they were just expected to take it. And they still are to some degree, and that's why this is just coming up now, even though it seems that he's been doing it for some 30-plus years. And it's sad. It's really sad, because as women, we're really just expected to deal with this sort of behavior.
And they call it the casting couch phenomenon, right? At least this is the Hollywood term for rape and sexual assault.
Right, exactly. It's not limited to Hollywood. It's, you know, obviously there's a different world there, because an audition situation is not exactly like a job interview. You know, you're taking on a role, you're being put in a position where you're being someone that is not you. So I can see producers very simply manipulating that world, perhaps easier than in another. And plus the what they can offer you is probably, you know, quite exciting, and the potential is there. So I imagine it's, you know, I listened to the audio that Ronan Farrow released with his article. It's horrifying.
Yes, I did too. This is the audio of basically, it was a young Italian Filipina actress who had already been assaulted by Weinstein and then told the police about it and wore a tape. And Weinstein basically admitted to have groped her and then pleaded with her to come up to his room and not make a scene. And Jane, apparently the Manhattan DA said that there just wasn't enough on that tape to pursue criminal charges against Weinstein.
Right. Which, you know, I mean, I don't know. If it were anyone else, I think they probably would have moved forward anyway. But I don't know. I don't know how the justice system justifies things sometimes, and then, you know, throws someone in jail for 4 years because they stole a backpack, or at least they think they stole a backpack. Sorry, I'm talking about Kalief Browder. Not comparable story whatsoever. But the justice system is just not just, you know? So the fact that, that he basically acknowledged that he had, in a sense, grabbed her, at least, at very least. So that's what, sexual battery? But I don't know. It just seems, I mean, I've been reading more and more today. It seems on so many levels, there were a lot, you know, Ronan Farrow had the story very close to coming up on NBC, and NBC News quashed it.
Yeah, so, and we'll talk in a few minutes about how the media did enable Weinstein to continue. But I want to pick up on what you said earlier, that was that Weinstein, as a person of great power in Hollywood, had the ability to make stars, you know, did up until a few days ago, to make or break people. Gwyneth Paltrow, in her revelation to the New York Times that came out after the initial story, explained, you know, what happened with her, that she was only 22 years old. She had basically been approached to play a lead role in a prominent film, and she was sexually harassed by him, and she thought that if she refused him, she was going to be fired. So he, like so many other men in positions of power, like Roger Ailes, like Bill Cosby, like Donald Trump, like Bill Clinton, has been able to wield the power and prestige of his position in society against these women victims, right?
Right, exactly. And it's funny, you mentioned Bill Clinton, and I feel like that's a name that has just not come up enough. During the presidential election, as a rape survivor myself, I mean, I was mortified that the Democratic Party found that it was acceptable to put Bill Clinton back in the White House. Now, sure, he was just going to be the first man, whatever job that was going to entail. But we know the Clintons. Both of them spoke very openly about how he was going to have a leadership role in the White House had Hillary Clinton be elected. And what's interesting is that what Bill Clinton did back in the 90s, and I actually just went back and watched the interview with Juanita Broderick last night, the Dateline interview that she did. And it's quite disturbing. It's no less disturbing.
This was Clinton's victim, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It is no less disturbing than Harvey Weinstein's tales of what he did with all these poor innocent women over the years. Bill Clinton did exactly the same thing. And he did it even in the White House. And then he never apologized for it. He never took accountability. In fact, he still denied he kind of just left the office. And then they took a little break for a while. And then Hillary came back in, in the Senate in New York. But we never discussed, like, hello, the president of the United States was accused of rape, sexual harassment, seems like guilty of power in the Monica Lewinsky issue. And for some reason, it was the 90s, and it still wasn't something we wanted to talk about. And then, you know, fast forward 20, 30 years later, and his wife is running for president, and somehow we're all supposed to look away from who her husband is because we're called sexist, because, oh, well, she's not the rapist. But she's chosen to turn her back on victims and embrace the man who victimized them, never speak about it, never give us any kind of explanation. Like, okay, if it wasn't true, maybe we should hear what happened. Let's really get down to it. Let's hear Bill Clinton apologize. Let's hear everyone talk about this issue of rape finally. Or are we just going to only jump on people that politically is convenient for us to...
Right. And that's a really important point. You know, it doesn't seem to matter what a part of the political spectrum you fall on. Misogyny seems to be a common infection for men of all political stripes, from Donald Trump to Bill Clinton, from Roger Ailes to Harvey Weinstein. And of course, Hollywood's liberal elites, to you know, use a right-wing term, but in some cases it's sadly accurate, hobnobbed with Harvey Weinstein. You know, Barack Obama hobnobbed with Harvey Weinstein. That's not to say that they all knew what it was that he had done. But I want to ask you, Jane, to comment on the fact that so many of his victims did remain silent, because that's going to come up in this story. People are going to ask, why did these women not say anything? The women had actually been victimized by Harvey Weinstein. Why did they not say anything for so long?
Of course they didn't say anything. In fact, you listen to some of them. Some of them tried to. They were silenced by his people. They were scolded by his executives or assistants. They, you know, they went to their part of the employment where they should be talking to that sort of thing. And they were basically told to shut up.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the patterns. Look at what happened to all of the women that accused Trump. Look at the women who accused Clinton. Even to this day, you know, we refuse to acknowledge that a man in power is going to use that power to manipulate a sexual situation. And yet we see it across the board happening. And we just want to turn away when it's convenient. And it's very interesting to me to see a lot of politicians now turning their back on Harvey Weinstein's money, you know, donating it to charity or, you know, just basically wanting to rid themselves of any connection to him. They are connected to Bill Clinton. They are connected to Hillary Clinton, who enabled him and is his partner. Why was that never important? It's as if whatever is in the media at one given moment, right now, Harvey Weinstein is the person that we are going to be angry with. We're going to say, that's wrong, this is wrong. Meanwhile, God knows what is going on in the background by other people at exactly the same time. The same people who are condemning Harvey Weinstein now may be the people that pop up being accused of violence a few months from now. It's just never ending.
So
we really examine how we look at each other, how we respect each other, and how we expect to be treated as human beings, and not just this constant political game of getting power and getting more and more towards the top of this American dream or this something that we're trying to work towards.
Yeah.
Because we're stepping on each other in the meantime.
So we talked about, you know, why victims do remain silent, and the onus is not on the victims to speak out, because of course you're the victim, you've been through horrific trauma. But what about women like Meryl Streep and Glenn Close and others? Meryl Streep and Glenn Close both issued statements. This is what Streep said, and she spoke out strongly, of course, about Trump's revelations against Trump in the Access Hollywood tape. But this is what Streep said about Weinstein. She said that this is disgraceful news about Harvey Weinstein, has appalled those of us whose work he championed, etc. She said, one thing can be clarified, not everybody knew. Harvey supported the work fiercely, was exasperating but respectful with me in our working relationship and with many others with whom he worked professionally. I did not know about these other offenses. I did not know about his financial settlements with actresses and colleagues. I did not know about his having meetings in his hotel room, his bathroom, or other inappropriate coercive acts. And if everybody knew, I don't believe that all the investigative reporters in the entertainment and the hard news media would have neglected for decades to write about it. She said, the behavior is inexcusable, but the abuse of power familiar. Each brave voice that is raised, heard, and credited by a watchdog media will ultimately change the game. What do you make of this?
Well, I mean, I agree with her to some degree. And then I also have to question how she accepted why was it okay for Bill Clinton to have done these exact same things in the past? She supported Hillary Clinton and she's without ever questioning his background. And yet as soon as everything came up about Trump, we only talked about that. I don't understand why there is selective outrage. Right. I don't understand. As a rape victim myself, when I hear a victim tell a story and I listen to them and I hear what they say, I relate immediately. And all I want to do is believe them and give them support. And I do not care who it is who attacked them, because I believe the women. Now, as far as what Meryl Streep is saying about never knowing about, you know, all this, you know, the horrible stuff that Harvey Weinstein was doing, I would imagine that the problem is that he's preying on people that he can take advantage of. he took advantage. He took advantage of Gwyneth Paltrow when she was in the early part of her career. Same with Angelina Jolie. Judd.
Ashley Judd, yeah. And many, many women. Like, so many women.
Came forward, they're all in their 20s. Yeah. You know, there wasn't anyone like, you know, when the Bill Cosby story came out, it was just sort of like anyone at any age, any time, he just, you know, whereas it seemed like Harvey Weinstein was being rather calculated and approaching women at the beginning of their careers, literally offering them help with their career.
When they were their most vulnerable.
For sex.
Yeah.
And it's very possible that Meryl Streep, being, you know, the extremely well-established actor that she is, had no connection with that world.
So then you have Glenn Close, whose statement said, "I'm sitting here deeply upset, acknowledging to myself that yes, for many years, I have been aware of the vague rumors that Harvey Weinstein had a pattern of behaving inappropriately around women. Harvey has always been decent to me, but now that the rumors are being substantiated, I feel angry and darkly sad." Jane, it seems to me that those in Hollywood probably realized this was an open secret, rumors swirling, you know, but probably everybody knew about this and didn't say anything.
Well, you know, it's interesting. And I think this gets to the part of the story that I think, now I'm a woman, obviously, so I can't speak for men, but I think what scares men when these sorts of stories come out is that, well, you know, this is the business where I work. You know, these are the only kinds of people that I meet. If I'm single and I want to meet and date a woman, when is it okay for me to just talk to them? When am I crossing the line? When, you know, why, you know, and first of all, you know, not in a business meeting. That's a good place to start. But there seems to be this sort of just generalization that it's okay to treat women like this. And that even though when we hear these disgusting stories of the details and the manipulation involved in what Harvey Weinstein was doing with these women, that I still think in the back of a lot of men and a lot of women's heads is like, well, yeah, we all have to deal with that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And that's what I think has prevented this from stopping, is because even those of us that are women, we feel we're not worth it. We don't get to make a choice.
We internalize the misogyny of our society.
Exactly. We're women. We have to deal with this extra challenge. We've had to deal with it our whole lives. Sometimes we get abused. Sometimes we get raped. If we're lucky, we just get insulted. Yeah. You know, and it's just, it's horrifying.
So,
to internalize this.
I want to turn to, so we talked about Weinstein's Hollywood enablers, if you will. The New York Times sort of patted itself on the back after its October 5th expose with a piece by Jim Rutenberg saying Harvey Weinstein's media enablers. In it, he says, "Until now, no journalistic outfit had been able or perhaps willing to nail the details and hit publish. After that, Sharon Waxman, who used to write for the New York Times, wrote an article in The Wrap saying she had tried to get this story published in the New York Times in 2004, and it was squashed by people close to Harvey Weinstein. In fact, now actor Matt Damon and Russell Crowe are coming into the picture because they apparently called Waxman on Weinstein's behalf to tell her what a great guy Weinstein was. And the New York Times squashed that story. There's also rumors that NBC might have attempted to squash Ronan Farrow's story. So the media, too, has played a part in enabling Weinstein for all these decades. 2004 was more than 10 years ago.
Right. Although I have to say, I read the Sharon Waxman piece, and I was reading it in the Wrap, and she's the editor of the Wrap. She's been running that.
She could have published her piece.
I'm not sure why she didn't just take that story and publish it herself and break it herself. So that, I mean, I'm not really certain why she jumped at the New York Times. I certainly understand that when she was coming up as a journalist for the Times and, you know, was working really hard on this story and then was just shut down with that, I can totally relate to how frustrating that must have been. I'm eager to hear from Matt Damon and Russell Crowe about what that whole shutting down, because Sharon Waxman said was that they were calling on behalf, I guess there was a woman in Spain or Italy or whatever, and it was basically his job on set to get Harvey Weinstein his women. And it was, in fact, that man who they were defending. And I guess he did other jobs, and the story was that he didn't do other jobs. And so I don't know. I don't feel comfortable judging that scenario yet, because all the pieces haven't come up. But it's certainly we're seeing decades and decades worth of different kinds of manipulation, not just Weinstein with the women that he was trying to take advantage of, but also the manipulating the press and overpowering the press in order to keep himself free and to keep the women's, his, you know, future women still in danger.
Yeah. Well, so much more to talk about. I mean, we didn't even get to Roman Polanski and Woody Allen and the many, many other men who've been accused of these things. Let's hope we have entered a new era where this sort of stuff is just less and less tolerable. Jane Piper, thank you so much for joining us.
I can just say one last thing, if you don't mind.
Yes.
And just you know, wrap all that up with what you just said. I think we really have to start looking at ourselves and who we support. Because people like Kobe Bryant and Ben Roethlisberger and Casey Affleck and Woody Harrelson and Roman Polanski, like you said, and Arnold Schwarzenegger, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on, people who have been accused of rape or accused of sexual harassment, and there are court documents that can be read in detail about it, and yet they go back to their sport or they go back to their art form, and they are just, you know, celebrated and given awards and, you know, treated as if nothing ever went wrong. And I think we have to start deciding who are we going to support and who are we going to say, you know what? No, it's not okay that you're a rapist. I know you're a brilliant artist, but I don't want to support you anymore. And I certainly don't think you deserve awards.
Right. I mean, basically, sexual assault and rape should be make you a pariah. You would imagine that it would make you a pariah in almost every circle. Jane, thank you so much for the work that you've done and for spending this time with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Sonali. Take care.
My guest is Jane Piper. She's an activist on issues of rape and sexual assault. She's a rape survivor, and she runs a Facebook page with Karen Palmer called This Is Rape, Stories from Survivors Inspired by Jane Piper. We'll post a link to that from our website later today. And we've been discussing how Harvey Weinstein got away with sexual assault and rape for decades. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.